الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل وقال تعالى وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, in the early 1960s, there was a young alim from South Africa who had qualified in Darul Uloom Deoband. And before leaving from the institute in which he qualified, he sat with some of the great ulama that were there of the time, requesting some advice on how to come back and work in South Africa. Among the great luminaries that were there was the name of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. And when this young alim had posed this question to him, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali advised him that knowing the people of South Africa, I have many students that are here, many murids that live here. Alhamdulillah, the people have a lot of knowledge of deen. They are conscious about salah. They're worried about making their children into hafiz, into ulama. But if I find a weakness in the people of South Africa, then it's the aspect of understanding what akhirat is all about. So if you want some advice from me, my advice to you is, go back to your country and conscientize the people about akhirat. Explain to them what akhirat is all about and let this be the goal of their lives so that they're moving in some direction, they have a goal to follow, and in this way they will be able to achieve their goal. This alim says, when I came back to South Africa, then I made this the purpose of my life. And every lecture of mine, every bayan I gave, every dars, every lesson, every ladies program, every youth program, I made sure some aspect of akhirat I discussed. And this alim was none other than the late Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Adam Sahab Rahmatullah Ali of Cape Town. Many of the older people would remember that when he would take out his series of lectures, then one lecture on the qabr, on akhirat, on jannat, on jahannam, would be a series of 10, 15, 20 cassettes. And he would conscientize people as much as he could to try and bring in front of us the importance of akhirat. My respected elders and brothers, when a young child enters the maktab, and at a grade 1 level when he comes into the madrasa, then amongst the first things that the child learns is his kalimas. And in the kalimas, one of the things that he will learn is the imani mufassal, amantu billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri, the day of qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah, so that a child at a young age of 5 or 6 years old, he is conscientized about akhirat. The child is made to understand that I am here in this world not to live here forever, but I have a home that I am moving towards, the home of the akhirat. That is my goal. That is where I'm going to. That is where I'm heading to. And that is where I have to work towards. So from that young age, the child is conscientized about akhirat, to teach him where he is heading towards. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, we'll find on numerous occasions The whole theme of the Quran Kareem, from the first page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about akhirat. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. That amongst the qualities of a believer is that you should have yaqeen in the akhirat. Over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the akhirat in the Quran Kareem. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت. An intelligent person is that person who controls his nafs, controls his desires, and he prepares for the life after death. وَالْعَاجِزْ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a foolish person is that person who just follows his base desires, and then he has big hopes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also explaining to us that be intelligent and prepare for your maut, prepare for your akhirat, so that when a person goes there, when a person reaches the akhirat, then he has prepared for himself beautiful, beautiful gardens. A person is going overseas, then for him to enjoy from the things overseas, he has to take a currency with him. If he's going to Dubai, then he must take dirhams with him. If he's going to Saudi Arabia, he must take riyals. If he's going to America, he must take dollars. If he goes with the rands in America to buy something from a shop, nobody is going to give it to him. He needs the right currency. In Jannat, Allah Ta'ala has prepared gardens beneath which rivers flow, palaces, apartments, gardens, fruit. There is so much that Allah has prepared. But to enjoy all of this, there's a currency. And that currency is a currency of sawab. The person, according to how much sawab he has, he can enjoy in the akhirat. So this is the chance that we have, Allah Ta'ala has given us, to prepare for our akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. This dunya, Allah created it to serve you. That this whole world, the rising and the setting of the sun, the rains that come, the beautiful plantations, the delicious fruit, and everything else that is in this dunya, Allah created it to serve man. But then Allah Ta'ala explains to man after that, وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. Don't forget, you, I've created you for the akhirat. This world, I created it to serve you, but you I've created for the akhirat. Again, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, don't forget your goal and the purpose of your life, that Allah has prepared the akhirat for us. Over and over again, we hear these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَحَبَّ دُنْيَاهُ أَضَرَّ بِآخِرَتِهِ. That person who loves the dunya, he's definitely going to cause harm to his akhirat. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَضَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. And that person who loves the akhirat, he's definitely going to cause some harm to his dunya. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was giving dawat to the people of the Quraysh, it was in the initial stages of Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended Mount Safa. When we go for Hajj and Umrah, then we go up Safa and Marwa. Mount Safa is a mountain near the Kaaba Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the mountain and he called out for the Quraysh, Ya Ala Quraysh. The Quraysh came running. What is it that you want, O Sadiq, O Al-Amin? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them, I'm standing here on the top of this mountain. If I have to say to you that behind me there is an army that is armed to the teeth and they're waiting to attack you, will you believe me? They said, of course we will believe you, because there is nobody in Makkah who is more truthful than you. We have never known you to ever speak a lie. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to them, that I am now explaining to you and I'm warning you about something that is even more severe than this army. And that is, there's a life that is to come after this life. And that is a life of the akhirat. A person who believes in Allah and a person who believes in me as the messenger of Allah will enjoy everlasting bliss in that life. And any person who disbelieves in Allah and disbelieves in me will suffer the fire of Jahannam. At this occasion, Abu Lahab mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَبَّنْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ. That what you call us for this, and he cursed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Allah Ta'ala then cursed him in the Qur'an al-Kareem. وَتَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبِي وَتَبْ was revealed. On this occasion also, amongst the first da'wats that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to the ummah, was prepare for the akhirat. There's a life that we are going to, and that we should prepare ourselves for that. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam was known to be an extremely wise person. Some people say he was a Nabi. Some people say he was blessed with hikmat and wisdom. He used to mention, his advices are mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala has revealed one whole surah called Surah Luqman, and after Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, it is mentioned about him that one of the advices he had given his son is, "Oh my son, turn your back towards the dunya and turn your face towards the akhirat. Because every day you are walking one step closer to akhirat and one step further away from the dunya. So let it not be that your back is facing towards the akhirat and your face is facing towards the dunya, lest the angel of death comes to you from behind you in a condition that you are left unawares." Such advice he had given to his son to prepare himself for akhirat. Respected elders and friends, sometimes in our day-to-day engagements, we get so caught up in our day-to-day engagements, in our dunyawi engagements, that we forget that there's a thing like the akhirat. Sometimes days pass, sometimes months pass. Allah forbid, sometimes the whole year will pass. The word akhirat will not even cross our tongues or come fall into our ears. It is necessary for us every day to discuss and to speak about akhirat, to discuss with our children, to discuss with our wives, to discuss with our friends and our associates, to speak about akhirat. There was one jamaat in our masjid in Spingo Beach. So one of the brothers was mentioning in his talk, he says sometimes if a person speaks about something that we haven't seen, person speaks about Dubai, for example, person has never been to Dubai, but a picture of Dubai will come into his mind immediately. The palm trees, the hotels, the beaches, the malls, the airport, the Emirates flight, all of that will just come into his mind, even though he hasn't been to the place. But because there's so much talk about it, he's read so much, he's seen so much, he's spoken so much, immediately a picture comes into his mind. The person speaks about America. He hasn't seen America, he's never been to America, but a picture will come into his mind. The Statue of Liberty, or the Twin Towers, the dollar, or something will come into his mind about America. He says, why is it that when we speak about akhirat, our minds are blank? There is no picture that comes into our mind about akhirat. He said, is it because we are not speaking about akhirat? Is it that we are not discussing it with our families and our children? That we are not discussing it on a day-to-day basis? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired the heart of the Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, to write this masterpiece called Fazail Sadaqat. This kitab, Fazail Sadaqat, is a masterpiece which from beginning to end, this entire book discusses aspects about akhirat. And that is why our ulama-i-kiram and our elders are speaking about it, that every home, every day, this kitab must be read. If you look at all jamaats that are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's part of the curriculum of the work of Dawat and Tabligh, that this kitab must be read every day. In our madrasa, from the mimbar every day, after Fajr Salah, this kitab is read. Why? To conscientize students again. What is our goal in life? Every person must read this kitab daily in our homes. And alhamdulillah, now recently, the Jamiatul Ulama has reprinted the Fazail Sadaqat in very simple, easy English, to make it simple and understanding even for young children, that they can understand the aspects of akhirat. One hadith, it is mentioned with regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he was busy building the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being built in Medina Munawwara, Sahaba-i-Kiram ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een were rallying around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whilst he himself was working on the building site, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continuously mention these words, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, really there is no life besides the life of the akhirat. Again, to conscientize the sahaba, that even whilst you are working, whilst you are busy, don't forget to think about the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, He poses a very important question to us. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا Allah Ta'ala is asking us, why are you giving preference to this worldly life? بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى Whereas the akhirat is so much better and everlasting for you. A beautiful question of love Allah is posing to us. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? Whereas akhirat is better for you and is everlasting. My respected elders and friends, our ulama-i-kiram teach us that when a person speaks about dunya, that doesn't mean that he must divorce himself totally from the world, that he doesn't have to have a business, he mustn't earn a living for himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's necessary for everyone to earn a living. But the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, أجملوا في الطلب. Make a moderate effort. Make a moderate effort, not a mad effort. Not an effort that will make you miss your salah or jamaat. Not an effort that will make you swear your staff. Not an effort that will make you do people down just to earn that extra few rands and cents. أجملوا في الطلب. Make a moderate effort. وتوكلوا عليه. And then place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently one friend of mine was saying that he had a shop. Allah ta'ala gave him a nice shop. And he says, Alhamdulillah, from that business of mine, all my needs were taken care of. I had no debts at all. Every year I was going for Umrah with my family. Every second year I was buying a new vehicle, new car for myself. All my needs were taken care of. And he says, thereafter, another shop came up. So some friends told me, why don't you take that shop also? He says, I made mashwara with my father. I discussed it with my father. My father told me, why don't you just remain content with what Allah Ta'ala gave you? You got a business, all your needs are coming out. You're making all your salah or jamaat in a masjid. Every month you're going for 3 days out in a path of Allah. What more you need? Just make shukr and carry on with your life. But then there's something called greed. And when it grips the heart of a person, then he can't see right, he can't see left. See, I took that business over and I started running this business. Now he can't be in two shops at the same time. He's either in this business or in that business. But he says, when I took this business over, I realized that this business was sinking. Now he says, I started taking the money from this shop and I'm pumping it in this business. Now he says, as a result, I'm no more giving attention to this business. Both shops started sinking. Now he says, now I'm in a difficulty, I'm in a problem. But where it started from, Allah Ta'ala gave us enough. A man just has to make shukr and carry on with what Allah Ta'ala has given him. But when a person loses sight of what he came for in this world, and akhirat is now deleted from his mind, and the only thing that he sees in front of him is rands and cents, then the masjid doesn't mean anything anymore. Whether he spends time with his family or not, it doesn't mean anything anymore. All is in front of him now is the rands and the dollars of this world. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, who was known as Hakim al-Ummat, a very great scholar of India. Many of us have read his best ever on several occasions. He mentions on once, I had to go on a journey and I stopped at a train station. So the station master recognized me and he came to me and he told me, Maulana, where are you going to? So I explained to him, I'm going to a certain place, Masuri, wherever it was. So he said, okay, Maulana, you go on the train, you don't have to pay for the ticket. So Maulana smiled at him and told him, you're the station master, you're not the owner of the train station. You cannot discount this for me. He says, don't worry, Maulana, I got good control here and nobody will ask you anything. So Maulana says, then I told him that when I get to that next station, there's another train that I need to take from there. What am I going to do from there? So he says, you don't worry, the station master on that side, I know him very well. I will send him a message to say that he mustn't charge you to go on that train as well. So Maulana smiled at him and he said, and from that station, there's another train that I need to take as well. So the station master said, Maulana, there's no train from there. The track stop over there. That's the last station. Maulana says, no, there's one more station after that. The station of the Akhirat. And that's the station where I will have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and answer. And what answer will I have in front of Allah Ta'ala to say that you didn't pay for that ticket, that train wasn't yours? When a person doesn't have this consciousness of Akhirat in front of him, then this is what will happen. All this will come in front of him, just for those few rands, for those few cents. Because now that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is not before him. Sometimes a person will go to the zoo, take his children and he'll go. There's a sign that says that children under 12 years are free. So he's got a 13-year-old there who looks like a 10-year-old. So he'll nudge him and tell him, when you go there, just tell him you're 10 years. But he's 13 years. So the child will walk in. The cashier is not going to ask him for his birth certificate, to produce his birth certificate. But you within yourself, you're smiling as you walk through. By the custom of Allah, you sold your iman for a lousy 50 bucks. Why? Because the consciousness of Allah is not there. A few months ago, Maulana Katani Sahab was in a madrasa. He was telling us, one person gave him a lift. He jumped in his car. He's going home. Maulana is telling him, this car you got is a new car. He's saying, gee, it's a new car. So Maulana says, I saw on the odometer, it was written 150 kilometers. So it's a brand new car, man. This person says, no, Maulana, actually what I did, I disconnected the odometer. Why you So when I sell the car, I can get more money for it. But you're deceiving your customer. The customer may get deceived. How will we answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Akhirat, the importance of us standing before Allah, the importance of us being question in front of Allah Ta'ala. Will we be able to answer the questions in front of Allah Ta'ala? When that consciousness of akhirat is not in front of us, then a person will do anything and everything. Why? Because now Allah doesn't feature in his life anymore. My respected elders and friends, our ulama-i kiram teach us that in order for us to create this consciousness of akhirat in our hearts, there are three or four things that we should do every day, or every now and again. One is to think about death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu." Think about death before death really overtakes you. A person knows that one day I have to die, I have to leave this world, and I have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometime every day, take out to think about maut. That's the first thing. The second thing that our ulama teach us is what I mentioned in the beginning about reading Fazail Sadaqat every day. In our homes, make this part. Ramadan has just passed. It's the first Friday after the day of Eid. Let us try and continue the goodness of Ramadan. One of the things that we can do is all of us in our homes, ta'lim of Fazail Sadaqat. Read it out to our children. Explain to them. Like how a ustad, when he goes in a class, he prepares his lesson and he delivers that lesson. Prepare it beforehand. I need got my children in front of me. I need to give them a direction. As a father, it's my responsibility to give my children a direction. Read this kitab out every day to them. Explain to them the importance of akhirat. Let them know what is pulsirat, what is the mizan, what is the scale, getting the book of deeds in our right hand, what jannat is about, what jahannam is about, what's barzakh, what's the qabr. The child must grow up knowing about all these marahil of akhirat so he can prepare himself for that day. And the third thing that our ulama teach us is visit the qabristan regularly. Visit the graveyard regularly. Among the sunan of the day of Jumu'ah, one of the things that we should do is go to the qabristan and walk through those qabrs that are there and realize that many a time comes in your life when you look in a qabristan, there's more people that you know in the graveyard than you know in a masjid. Why? Because the time is coming now for us to also join them. One day we also have to sleep in that grave. One day we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah, that we can prepare for the akhirat. Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib Mirati Rahmatullah Ali of Medina Munawara, he used to mention that it was the practice of the people of Medina that when they would reach a certain stage in their lives, he would mention at the age of 40, then he would say, enough is enough. They would give up everything and he would spend all the time in the haram of Medina Munawara. And when people asked him, what are you all doing now? The standard answer would be, we're preparing for akhirat. We're now preparing for akhirat. That consciousness must come to us. A time must come in our life where we realize, enough is enough. I now need to prepare for my life after death. I need to prepare for my akhirat. Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshallah, to make amal wa akhirat.